So welcome to This Cycling Live. Today I'm joined by Jeroen van Schelven, who is a founder, entrepreneur, creative genius, and owner of Le Coffee Ride, which is a phenomenal little cafe and hotel in the iconic Ardennes region here in Belgium. So rather than me say too much more, Jeroen, maybe you could give us a quick intro to yourself.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, James. My name is Jeroen. I live in Belgium. I'm 34 today. And I used to be a cyclist. And today I run my own company. It's called Le Coffee Ride in the Ardennes, which is an apparel brand with Ardennes Base Camp Cycling Cafe Hotel, more or less.
Right. Well, happy birthday, Jeroen. And as you know, it's my birthday on Saturday. So we're very close together, although I'm about, I guess, a few more years older than you. I just turned 50. But happy birthday to you. And Jeroen, you're being a little bit humble. I mean, you did race as at the Continental as a professional rider for some time. Can you maybe sort of start out by telling us, you know, what it was like growing up as a kid there in the Ardennes as someone with parents from Holland? And then where did your passion for cycling start to sort of emerge?
Yeah, so my parents moved to the Ardennes, Belgium, when I was 3 years old. They moved out of the city of Rotterdam to look for some more green environment. And they had a job opportunity there in 1990. So we moved to Belgium. And it was special in a way that we had to learn French speaking at school and Dutch at home, which was a great advantage growing up. And then also like growing up in the outdoor sport environment. In that time, it was quite new. So they were doing all sorts of activities for tourists coming to the Ardennes. And yeah, that was great because we touched based on a lot of sports, outdoor sports like paragliding, kayaking, hiking, name it. I mean, mountain biking, obviously. And that's how I got in contact with biking for sure. And yeah, I don't know. I got inspired by the time of Indurain. You know, I don't know. First time I remember watching a race on TV, I was totally hooked.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And how old were you when you got your first road bike and then started actually to compete?
Yeah, there was a struggle because for some reason my dad, which he was actually right about, he didn't want me to start too early. So I had to wait till I was 14 to get my first road bike. So before that, I was riding a mountain bike with slick tires and dressing like a road cyclist, but I had to wait. So I started racing when I was 14.
Great. And then when you got into competition, did you find it easy? I mean, did you have some natural talent or were you someone who had to work hard? You know, one of the things I always joke with my kids, I always tell my kids that, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. But often as a teenager, you know, kids do have this natural talent and they can thrive. Where were you on that kind of spectrum? The natural ability or the hard worker?
Yeah, actually a bit of both. So when I was young, I was already quite strong and especially fast. So in the short races as a junior and before that, I always finished like top five, top 10 quite quickly. So I was quite strong and I also managed to win races from the first year on. Yeah. And then I won some championships like Wallonia champion I became and so on. So at the beginning, it was quite promising and, you know, it felt good. And then growing up, going to the under 23 level, I really had to start like working on my endurance and looking more after what I was eating and also, you know, making sure that I was fit to climb. So it actually became harder growing up and had to do more for it, which I did and managed to reach a certain level. So. Mm.
And you did have of course, you know, also, I guess to put it in context, you know, one of the things I've certainly witnessed having my own son, you know, who's done some competition here in Belgium is that, you know, as a young rider, you know, man or a woman in that sort of junior or belofte level, the level here in Belgium is incredibly high. So, you know, you're saying you're finishing top five or top 10 in the Belgian kind of environment obviously points to some talent. And so you did then go on to race at the continental level. You did that for, I understand, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So actually from when I started, when I was 14, the ambition was directly to become like professional. And so I was totally hooked and obsessed by it and from the first year on, just did it super intense and with, yeah, you know, a lot of energy put into the sport. And then becoming on, you know, on a continental team was great. It was a satellite team from Lotto, the World Tour team. So we had a good sponsor, and they allowed us to participate at many pro races. I think like 30-40% of our races were 1.1 races in Belgium, like the Tour of Belgium or the Europe Metropole Tour or Grand Prix de Wallonie, all these type of races, which allowed us at a young age to, you know, ride next to the big guys and get a lot of experience. So that was a great opportunity and a great experience. And yeah, it actually went off quite good from the start, but I had some, I don't know, some things along the way, which yeah, made me stop at a young age.
Yeah, but you did make that decision then to end your cycling career, and you didn't then move on into business. How did that transition go? Because as I understand it, although you left the world of competitive cycling, you stayed very much in the world of cycling and business. So how did your career then evolve when you made that shift from being a cyclist into the business world?
Yeah, actually quite good. Just for some reason, I realized the language advantage I had, speaking Dutch and French fluently, and also English, and also having an experience around cycling for a long time. Also worked a few years part-time at Decathlon in the bike area, so I had also already a retail experience there about how it works, you know, selling stuff and doing customer service and things like that. And also did like 2 years of a marketing evening studies, so I had a good background to start. And knowing also like how it was to work in a store, I had the idea, okay, you know, I'm 23, I'm turning 24. I was looking for some independence, you know, being on my own. And I thought, okay, I should try to find a job as a sales rep, which has some good advantage to it. You know, you have some freedom, you're on the road. And so, yeah, I started to write emails to many companies into cycling, and that's how I came in contact with Eddy Merckx brand, and they hired me, which was a great opportunity. I really started there with like probably the smallest salary you could imagine. I could earn more somewhere else, but it was such a special name and company and brand that I thought, hey, that's a great opportunity, so I give it a go.
Yeah. And you then went on, I mean, you worked for a bunch of other companies in mostly, as I understand, in marketing and sales related roles. When then did you start to have this kind of inkling that you might want to step away from the corporate world and set yourself up as an entrepreneur?
Actually, pretty early on, the one thing I remember is I was, you know, surfing the internet, and I came across the, you know, the AliExpress or Alibaba website for the first time. And I was working at Eddy Merckx for 1 or 2 years, I think, and a whole world opened up to me. Like, I was like, whoa, I saw all these frames and things coming from Asia. I saw some other brands as well popping up with some cool, you know, entrepreneur stories slowly coming on. And I don't know, like naturally I had that feeling that I wanted to create something, but I was far away from anything really like happening seriously, or there were just a lot of ideas, you know. And yeah, it took some time to actually start something. And what I experienced as well is that the longer I waited, the harder it became to make that leap, that jump, because for some reason, when you work in a company, everything is sorted out for you. You know, in my case, as a rep, I had a company car, and you have your salary and everything. And then at some point you build that up and you're like, okay, how in the hell am I gonna support myself financially doing something my own? So making that jump was seemed like a huge step. So yeah.
And you then sort of started to, I guess, explore ideas and opportunities, and then you eventually acquired this incredible little hotel and cafe in really the heart of what is, I guess, the heart of the Ardennes cycling in Belgium. Can you tell us a little bit about how you made that decision and then identified this location in Caux, which is near to Trois-Ponts? Did I say it right?
Yeah, that's correct.
In the south of Belgium.
Yeah, so a few things together. Like, I left after 5 years the Eddy Merckx company, where I grew in the company quickly and started to do export sales and traveling and so on, which was a super experience. And then the company didn't went so well, so I had to move somewhere else, which I did. And there I started to work as a brand manager for very nice brands such as Giro and Look Bikes and Northwave and some other brands, which was interesting. The process as well, like going from doing only mainly sales and a bit of marketing to being responsible for a brand and all the organization and the supply and everything around it, was really like actually quite tough to do. And the hardest point was to be in the office instead of being outside. So that was really a hard shift for me to, you know, to accept that and to get through it. But at the end, I learned a lot, and it was a great experience, but I didn't like it at all being, you know, inside. So that for sure, you know, reopened again the idea of, hey, I should, you know, do something of my own. I wasn't happy. So that really, I think, was the trigger to push me really towards making that jump at some point. And, you know, I already was working on small projects like at Eddy Merckx with a Merckx Cycle Club, which was inspired by Rafa. And yeah, I did already a lot of like small entrepreneurial little projects. So at some point, it kind of all felt together to the opportunity to start something in Co. My mother used to rent the place, and she was quitting her outdoor activity. So there was an opportunity to get that building and to you know, to start renting the building there and start a business. And that's actually,
I mean, just a point on the because and of course I mean it's a beautiful location. I mean that corner location right there in Co. Really on many. Really incredible cycling route. So did it take you a long time to identify the location? And then in terms of then thinking through the business model, because what also strikes me, you know, having visited you last week, is the way that actually you're combining these different aspects you've already been talking about into actually a physical location. I mean, your brand management, your apparel comes together with the coffee, and of course now the hotel side of it. So can you talk, number one, about how long did it take to identify that marvelous location? And then secondly, you know, how did the thinking about this sort of combined or hybrid business model start to emerge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the location was coming together at the right time. And I'd really like a mix of ideas. I was writing down on paper, like a, how do you call it? Like a mind map about all the ideas I wanted or had some good feeling around. And for sure, podcasting was in it. Apparel brand was in it. Cycling cafe was in it. All those things. But yeah, and then the building was there, and I felt like, hey, why not start here? And that kind of started like that. Because my mom was, you know, having some problems there at the time. I mean, I was having a hard time at the end. So there was an opportunity to do something there. And that's how it actually started. And later on, once I started, the other ideas of a podcast or, you know, apparel brand and so on, gently like came again on the radar. And once I started, you know, doing the entrepreneurial journey, yeah, one thing lead to the other, and that's actually how it grew. And for sure, I had a big advantage, like having quite some experience in the industry of cycling related, like in bikes and apparel, and then also, you know, how to organize supply and contacts, and also like in general context in the bicycle world, also being active already on social media, and then for sure like following like a lot of content already at that time online about business and just probably something I'm interested in naturally. So for sure, all these things together, makes it work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's that for me was really, I mean, one of the most attractive aspects of what I experienced with Le Coffee Ride was the fact that, you know, you're able to really combine what you do in terms of the great coffee, obviously your hotel rooms, but also you mentioned the podcasts and the blogs. And you know, I've been very impressed with the way you're doing that, because, you know, for me visiting your site, I mean, if it was just a hotel site or just a cafe site, of course I would visit it, but maybe once to see where you are and what your rates mm-hmm. are. However, you know, that week where I was in the Ardennes, I think I visited your site at least half a dozen times, because actually I kept coming back for the content, yeah. You know, the mm-hmm. blog posts, the podcast, which actually are really impressive, because you've got guys on there like George Hincapie. You know, a whole bunch of, you know, former pro athletes and also people from the business. So How do you see that as, I mean, how, to what extent is that an important part of your business model? This, not just, I guess, selling coffee in rooms, but also getting that engagement from people who keep coming back to your site.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of things actually to put in a nutshell, I think how you say it, but for sure, like, I mean, you hear it all the time, like content is key, but also offering value to people is key for a business. I mean, it's really many things that come together. The biggest motivation for me really was like to kind of escape from the corporate life and for in some way, like, you know, create some kind of balance and freedom in having something you like, that it generates enough income that you can reinvest and so on. Yeah. So I really like pushed really hard, like for 2-3 years until now, actually, to kind of make it work. And I understood that, first of all, like bringing value to people is super important, and really like switching your mind instead of thinking what's in for me, it's like thinking what's for them, you know, what's for the people, what can I do so that people, you know, see value in what we create and have a reason to come. And yeah, that for some reason, really like when I've probably heard it like 1,000 times, other entrepreneurs saying it. So at a time, like, you know, made sense. And I started doing that. And one of the good examples is like the GPX routes we have on our website. You know, people come to the area, they don't really know where to go. And, you know, on our website, they can choose like a category like road or gravel or mountain biking. And we offer all tons of like routes they can do in the region. So they download it and they go for a ride, and then they can shower with us. They can have a drink or do a bike wash afterwards. Just that idea, I mean, gives a reason for people to come. I mean, you offer them really something of value. They can have a free shower. That's great. You know, all these things help. And then why doing a podcast, for example? Again, you know, it's creating value for people. Like if I had to listen to some type of content, it would interest me. I think it would interest a lot of people, like you're doing as well. So it's a way of you know, catching attention of people and generating traffic to our website as well, obviously. Which at the end funnels into a few different things. The apparel is one thing, but also the location and
No, I mean that's. I mean, you mentioned the GPX routes. And again, for me, you know, visiting the region, although I was not staying at your hotel because you were closed that week because of still the COVID restrictions. However, you know, I was constantly going back to your site actually to download the routes for my ride. And of course, all of those routes started at the front door of your cafe and hotel. So I was visiting almost every day, even though at that time your doors weren't open. The other aspect of this, I guess, is that, you know, you've become an entrepreneur. The coffee ride is absolutely thriving. But you have had this single-minded focus because, you know, there are probably thousands of bed and breakfasts and hotels in the Ardennes. However, you know, when I was doing my search and comparison, you seem to have something really unique because it's, in a way, 100% focused on cyclists. To what extent do you think that is something which we will see more of, we will see evolving, that because of this boom in cycling, that more people will start to understand that you can have that kind of 100% focus?
Yeah, for sure. When we started, that wasn't totally like something we were sure of. So at the first like 3-4 months of the business, we also had like, I don't know, motor guys stopping by, you know. But it's something that grew, and once you notice that your whole location is filled with cyclists all year, or that it moves from 20% to 80 or 90% of your customer base are cyclists, then you know, okay, it's the market is big enough, and there are enough cyclists to do so, which is super nice when the people you are aiming for, that they come and that they fill up the space needed to make it work. So which is the case. And just awesome. What can I say? It's but it's something that grew, and but for sure, like, the market in cycling grew. I believe that there's many opportunities for people to do something creative in cycling, doesn't matter what. So what else you ask? It's great.
Cool. Now, that's one of the things you know, you've shared images of the coffee ride when it's packed with people. And you know, when you look at those images, it's more like a clubhouse than a cafe or a hotel, because there seems to be that real community built around it. Jeroen, can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, you did spend many years competing as an athlete. You raced at the pro level. What skills or lessons or abilities do you think that you've been able to bring from that world of being a pro athlete into now being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, like definitely to push through. So, you know, at times it becomes hard, it hurts. You know, it's not always like, it's not always fun in a way to do the job or to make it happen. I always say, like, you know, owning a restaurant is not the same as sitting at the restaurant. So same here. I mean, from the outside, it may look like a great, which is, I believe so, a great place to go to. But at the other side, doing the job or make it work or organizing it is totally different thing. So you really have to, like, also, you know, what they say all the time, like, love the process and love doing it. That's super important. But for sure, what I got from cycling is to push through, like to just keep pushing. And at some point, you know, you get through it and you evolve or you grow or you become stronger. That's one thing I can think of. There are probably a few others as well.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think we've spoken to many ex-rider entrepreneurs on TCL. Yeah. And I think this thing that you mentioned about, you know, setting yourself a goal and then really pushing towards
it. I think about one thing is that related to pushing through is, you know, you may think like, you know, I don't have time to start something or something like that. And they always talk about a side hustle, which is a good way to start something. You know, you have your job and at the side you have some time. But I was actually surprised. I'm not doing it now anymore because I could like quit my job and do this full time. So again, you balance again. But for like 1 year, I combined working full time as a brand manager and launching this in the weekends. And I probably was working more than 100 hours a week for at least a year, you know, doing my full time job and then doing this next to it. But it's actually impressive if you think about how much time you actually have in a week. If you work late and, you know, you skip a little bit, sleep is important, but you can, instead of sleeping 9 hours, you can also sleep six. It still works. Or instead of watching TV, you work in the evening. And if it's something you want to do for yourself or that it's an escape to make a better future, I think it's really, you would like be impressed of how much you can actually accomplish in those extra hours. If it's something you're motivated about, it doesn't feel like work.
Absolutely understand. I mean, this journey for me and the crew in setting up TCL, it hasn't been like work. I mean, we get to speak to fascinating people like you and so many people in the business, riders, you know, DSs, and it's a different kind of work, but it's work all the same. And you know, you mentioned also leaving the corporate life and that the decision to set up Le Coffee Ride was about, you know, a dream for you related to your passion, but you also mentioned lifestyle. You look in pretty good shape. So, I mean, are you still finding time for riding your bike? I mean, when I passed the cafe last week and we met by accident, actually, you'd been out on a bike ride. So to what extent are you still able to ride your bike yourself? And also you have a young child now. So how is that shift now taking place?
Yeah, I would say like the first year I ride less, like when we started. It was really like the priority was to make it work to start. So for sure there, I was less fit, let's say. And then the second year I started to work three days a week for the company, at Look Bikes. And then the other time in Le Coffee Ride, so already find a better balance. We didn't have a child at that time, so there was some time to ride. And then last year we had a daughter, and again, so it for sure takes some time. But I don't have any like racing ambition or, you know, big ambitions on the bike. I really love to ride to kind of stay in shape and do some nice exploration rides, which I love, doing some gravel and so on. So I'm doing like 8 hours a week at the moment. If I can move it up to 10 or 12, having some peak weeks during spring and summer when the weather is better, I for sure want to do it. It's just so fun to get in shape and to feel the power coming back in the legs and just going for like 6-7 hours in the summer. And just the feeling when you, after 5 hours, when you stop at a, you know, a little pump station and you need some Coke, you already feel all the endorphins running in your body. I just love that feeling. And
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes why we ride, really. Yeah. Like, I mean, for sure we because a lot of time it also sucks in a way. Like yesterday I went for a ride in the evening and it was just shit weather and cold and windy. And I went for 1 hour 30 and during 1 hour I felt like, hey, what am I doing? But you get through it and then you feel good. And I don't know, it's just also a habit, you know, I have to do like at least three days a week some sport. Otherwise I don't feel nice.
No, but it makes a lot of sense, you know, and that's very much, you know, my field is, you know, leadership and entrepreneurship, but also more and more into the field of neuroscience and, you know, this connection between mind and body. Yeah. But one of the things I've experienced also as an entrepreneur is that, you know, many of my best ideas actually come when I'm out on my bike. So to what extent is that true for you? I mean, when you're out on your bike, to what extent are you thinking about La Coffee Ride and your plans and strategies for the future?
Like all the time, you know, it's a bit crazy sometimes. Sometimes I think like, hey, am I not forgetting something? You know, isn't there something else I should, you know, look at instead of being all the time in my bubble and the things I like? But at the other hand, you know, if you're happy and if that's what you like, it's good. And for sure, when you go out for a ride, you know, you just actually sometimes it feels more like yoga because I think it also switch off your mind. For some time as well, which is good. Just think about nothing, just pedal, and that's important as well, you know, to stop thinking at some times, because otherwise you just become crazy a little bit.
Absolutely makes sense. And and Jeroen, where do you see La Coffee Ride in maybe 2-3 years from now? I mean, how do you see yourself evolving the business? Obviously, you know, your apparel is doing very, very well. Is it going to be more focused there, or what's your vision for the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, well, so it's 3 years now we are in the business, and we started the apparel 2 years ago. And it was already, like I said, you know, in the mind map we did at the beginning, one of the key ideas, but it, you know, it was one thing after the other. And then I realized really like, okay, what do I want? And the cafe is super nice. I mean, it's a great place. People come together. I really love that. But my biggest personal drive is branding. You know, I want to create a brand, which we do, and grow that. So the focus, I mean, people would probably have noticed, like, it's really like we want to be known in the future, like really like a respected apparel brand. We'll see how big it will get. It's not really that important how big it gets, actually. But I mean, being sustainable and offering good stuff is already great, which I think we do. And so really like try to grow that, expand the range, get more products, better products, and then keep growing and building on that. And then also like you know, reinvest in the accommodation and the cafe, you know, try to make it better, offer better services, really like consolidate and build on that. And then I think we'll see, you know. I mean, it's growing so fast that I have no idea where we'll be in 2 years or 3 years. But I think in 2 or 3 years, it will probably be a good time to probably like have a good thought about, okay, what's next now? Because I expect to have some possibilities to maybe expand in a way or another. But the most important thing will be also at the end for me to like the process of what would be next, you know, because the opportunity to do bigger or more is there for sure. But you have to want to do that as well, and like what's gonna bring doing that. So we'll see that at that time. But for now, like really focus on growing the apparel in any way, and consolidating the base camp there. I'm sure there are some things we can improve still. So we'll work on that.
Excellent. Now it's wonderful to hear you talk, Jeroen, because I think a lot of people who talk about entrepreneurship, you know, they tend to focus on, you know, creating some idea or business that's going to be scalable and be global, and you know, that you're going to sort of develop into some sort of IPO. And however, you know, very interesting hearing you speak, because I would probably term someone like you more of a lifepreneur than the entrepreneur in the way we've normally thought about it. Because absolutely what you talked about is that for you, it seems that entrepreneurship is simply a way to enable you to live your life in the way that you really want to live it, you know.
Totally true. Like 100%.
So that's great to hear. What's your take on that, this idea of entrepreneurship versus lifepreneurship?
I actually never heard the lifepreneurship, so
I made it up. I've been talking about it for a little while now, but that's one of mine, but you probably never heard of it.
What's my take on that, what you said? I mean, that's really key. There are 100 opportunities in any form, and that's not a reason to do them. You really have to like be sure that what it gets you into, that's something you will enjoy. I mean, how can you bring anything good to anybody if you're unhappy? So I think that's a logical thing to focus on, first of all, like, you know, being in a place where you feel good and then try to do good stuff. And I think that's already a good thing. I mean, it will bring joy and happiness. So, I mean, that's for sure important. But I would also would like to share for people, you know, it's not there are 100 ways to find happiness. And I think it's often much more close to us than we think. And sometimes it could be a bit scary. I mean, there's so much around, you know, building a business, that I don't want people to think like everybody should build a business. I mean, that's so not true at all. And there's nothing wrong with working corporate or having a job in a corporate world. I think the most important thing is to find the right balance that fits you. And I mean, you can have like a job with great colleagues and working on interesting projects, which is totally cool. I mean, I don't want people to think like it's only cool if you build a business or if you're an entrepreneur. That's so not true. But for sure, for me, it's really about, I wasn't happy in what I was doing. So I had to find some other way, and just trying to build something on which I can build my own life around. And if I can offer value doing so to people and, you know, building something nice, that's great. That's all I'm looking for. So now I'm just like trying to kind of still have some for sure ambition, you know, that's in my body, but find a balance between growing ambition, a bit of competition, and then also like just, you know, enjoying riding bike, doing fun stuff with my friends, just enjoying being here on earth and, you know, enjoying the little things.
I guess when I listen to you speak, and I'm sure that's inspiring for a lot of people, but, you know, the other thing I think is that, you know, you are a little bit special in that you had the courage to do it. You know, I think there's a lot of people in corporate roles. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, often in the corporate job, it is comfortable. You know, you get the company car, you get the nice paycheck every month. Of course, you have to work, and you often have to work hard.
Yeah.
But when you step out to being an entrepreneur, you know, the only invoices that are coming in each month are the ones that you are driving and generating. It's a very different sort of take. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid of risk or uncertainty. So what advice would you give to people who maybe have a dream, have an aspiration to try something on their own, but are feeling held back by, in a way that some people call golden cage or safety of what they have right now?
Yeah, you don't want to be delusional. So for sure, I wouldn't say like jump, you know, just jump, because it's good to have a little bit of, you know, thoughts about what you're doing. But then the other thing is also like to just, you know, I mean, what Nike says, just do it, you know, like you have to start. And I started, and I probably made the biggest mistake at that time, starting with somebody, which didn't work out. So after 3 weeks, we already like find an arrangement to stop. But I actually lived the worst 4 weeks of my life at that time. But the reason it happened, that mistake, is because I, at some point, 6 months before starting Le Coffee Ride, I thought, okay, I should stop thinking or hearing myself think, you know, name all the reasons why not to, and just start. And that's what I did. Luckily, I went through it. And at the end, you know, it brings us here. So probably at some point, you just have to just start doing something. I remember my wife told me, like, you know, I was like moaning again, being like, oh, I don't know what to do. What should I do? This and that. And she just said, I just start a freaking website and just do something, you know, just start. So that's for sure, like one advice I would give. Like I said, there's so much time as a side hustle. You can do so much, even in the evening hours. And also consistency, like, don't look at what you can do in one day, but, you know, count the hours you can do in a year if you do 3 hours a day. And give it time, and then it will grow. And also, like, don't worry about what people think. You know, so it doesn't matter what people think. Like, even if you look stupid at first, I have a lot of respect. Sometimes, you know, you see somebody starting something and you think like, oh, it looks a bit stupid. But, you know, I have a lot of respect because nobody starts being perfect in anything. You have to, like, you know, do a whole process to reach something. So, you know, just do your thing and don't listen to people who judge or whatever.
Now that's a great comment, and especially so. I mean, being here in Belgium, I've been here for 10 years, and actually, that's something that struck me, that, you know, entrepreneurialism, I think, still in Belgium is seen as something which is a bit weird or a bit risky. When you do start talking to people about launching entrepreneurial ventures here, you know, the usual things people tell you is there's a lot of risk and, you know, there's uncertainty and you could fail. And that's very different to where I come from, Australia, which is kind of like, if you haven't kind of tried to be an entrepreneur by the time you're in your 40s, people kind of look at you like you haven't really tried hard enough, right? Mm. And that is also about failure, because, you know, one thing that I guess I understood when I went independent when I was 40 years old was that, you know, I've still got like at least 25, maybe 30 years of work ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So even if I try this and it doesn't work out, well, you know what? You know, if I take 2 or 3 years to give it a try, I can always go back. You know, I can always step that's back so into true. A job or a corporate mm-hmm. role, you know. And again, I think that's something which maybe, I don't know, was that something that you reflected upon, that you're still you're still a young guy. Mm-hmm. So you still got time, you know. Was that conscious in your mind, or was that something maybe you've reflected upon later?
No, not really, actually. But one thing I noticed is that at the end, you're much more in control when, you know, you are your own boss than if you work for somebody. So it's a bit like a paradox, but you would think otherwise. Working for a company, you get your paycheck, you know how to play the game, you know you're secure. But I mean, actually, you're not, you know, you're not in control at all. If somebody decides that the whole project, the company you're working on, has to be canceled for some financial reason or otherwise, you're just gone, you know. And if you are your own boss, at the end, I realized that, hey, I'm actually totally in control here. So I actually feel much more secure now, which is great. Yeah.
Great. Good stuff. Well, Jeroen, it's been great to meet you. I mean, and I have to say that, I mean, personally, what you've done has been a great inspiration for me. As you know, I've recently acquired a small hotel in the Flemish Ardennes, and we're really going to develop that into a community and a clubhouse and a place for people who are passionate about cycling, but also for people who are passionate about entrepreneurship. So this conversation for me has been really inspiring. I think it's going to be really inspiring for those people who are watching as well. So Jeroen, thank you very much for your time today. And I think from everyone in the TCL, the Cycling Life community, we wish you every success for the future of Le Coffee Ride. Thanks, Jeroen.
Thanks, James.